Bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, open up our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your holy word. Enable us to hide that word deep in our hearts so that we'll not sin against you. And we pray, be pleased to glorify the Lord Jesus this day and enable us to truly worship our Father in heaven. And so we pray in the name of our Redeemer. Amen. First section is from Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave him a sign, saying, "Whomever I shall kiss, he is the one. Seize him." And immediately he went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way?" At that time Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." And all the disciples left him and fled. And then going into chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What's that to us? See to that yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they counseled together and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. And then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Then last, Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, and 24 and 25. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together and said, "Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language that field was called Akedama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, 'Let his homestead be made desolate, and let no man dwell in it, and his office let another man take.'" Very sobering words for for our consideration. There's a poem that starts in these words, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring?" There are those who are truly on the Lord's side, who like the Lord Jesus and do not please themselves, but like the Lord Jesus, try to do those things that please the Heavenly Father. And they strive to be like that. Now, of course, Jesus did it perfectly. He never sinned. And he always pleased his Heavenly Father. But sad to say, we do not always do so perfectly. There are those who appear to be on the Lord's side, but those quite often do the cross on Sunday, the double cross on Monday, and the other days as well. These need to be confronted with the fact that, as the Lord told Samuel, God does not look on the outside, the outward appearance. He's more concerned about the inside. He's more concerned about the heart. And this is something even Samuel had to be warned about, because we tend to look at the outward appearance, how a person looks. There are those who are not on the Lord's side, but are his enemies. They would do all that they can to kill Jesus, suppress him, and erase his name from history. Those would include, of course, the traitors, the betrayers, the turncoats, the conspirators, the informers, the fifth columnists, and some might sum it all up in one word: Judas. He's a Judas. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders in the Sanhedrin were Jesus' opponents, looking for opportunities to kill the Son of Man. There was a fifth columnist among the apostles who would side with Jesus' enemies, but keep the appearance of being a true follower of Jesus, but secretly betraying the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. Christ's true followers, under severe trial, while he was arrested, fled. Some denied him. Some hid in secret. But some finally did return and were loyal. But at first, Jesus was left all alone. Today we observe those who begin well but do not end well. They become what they never expected they would become. Judas was not a betrayer to begin with. He really was a friend and a follower of Jesus to begin with. In Luke 6:16, we read that Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Judas reminds me of the evil Gollum mentioned in The Hobbit by Tolkien. Some of you have read that book. It's a big book to read. Some have seen the film, as you've seen that poor creature. He lived in darkness. He was on the dark side. Loved the darkness and loved a ring that he worshipped, calling it "my precious." After Judas received the precious morsel offered to him by Jesus, Satan entered into Judas, and Judas left to carry out his betrayal. And it was night in the darkness, on the dark side. How true it is. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Judas became like Gollum, never expecting to become such a horrible person. And when he realized what he had done in the night, he couldn't live with himself. And he ended his life going to the place of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where there are tears. You can only imagine what it must have felt like for the Lord Jesus to be betrayed, to be left alone. Well, David in the Old Testament had his Ahithophel, who was a close associate, close friend. They worshiped together, but he became a traitor. Paul had his Demas, who loved this present world. Of course, Jesus had his Judas. When we think about our own country and the American colonies, had its Benedict Arnold. Those who are betrayers are not admired. Betraying Jesus, of course, is the worst of all sins. Those who betrayed Jesus, who was glorified by his Father and glorified by the Holy Spirit, committed the unpardonable sin. The one who was sent out of love, glorified by his Father, glorified by the Holy Spirit, but betrayed by one created in the very image of God, but became an awful person, committing the unpardonable sin. When we hear the name of Judas, of course, we recoil from that name. So we know it's sorrow and sadness. We shudder. There's shame when we wonder, how did Judas, an apostle, an associate, become a traitor, losing his apostolic office, his apostolic place? There are a number of factors to consider, and we should take warning. All of us who profess to be Christians and in the outward appearance appear to be so. Judas failed to take seriously warnings that Jesus had given to him. And he hardened his heart. It wasn't done all at once, but gradually. We shall start with the element of money. You can't tell me you don't like money. I'm sure that you all here like money. We're not saying that's wrong to like it, providing it's in proper perspective. Money itself is not evil. Paul tells us, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that's what happened to Judas. He wandered from the truth. Finally pierced himself in sadness. Judas, like Cain, became a wanderer. In Judas's case, money was one of his downfalls. In Cain, jealousy was his downfall. His deeds were evil. His brothers were righteous. But both Judas and Cain were of the wicked one. He was evidently quite adept in financial matters. He was a gifted man. We do not deny that. Judas was a very gifted man and gifted in financial matters. It was his responsibility to take care of the finances of the disciples. No doubt, he started out well. But gradually, he began to take some of the money for himself. Whatever reason he took it, whether he thought it was a necessity that he had to have it, or just plain greed. But he broke the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. He became a thief. It was Judas who objected when Mary anointed Jesus with an expensive ointment. And he said, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It'd be worth a year's wages. Very expensive ointment. You wouldn't expect that to be done, but there was a real purpose and reason for it, and Jesus commended Mary. But Judas really didn't care about the poor. He was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. Now, Jesus defended Mary, and Judas could have taken note. You know, N.B. Nota bene. Note well. Now, had Judas forgotten about the rich young ruler who turned away from Jesus because of his riches? Had he forgotten about the parable of the rich fool whose motto was, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry? Jesus warned, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And Jesus called that rich man a fool, which is a name for Judas too. Had Judas forgotten that Jesus' words, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Watch out for money. Do you take or do you give? Are you a taker or are you a giver? Next, Judas had a misconception about God's kingdom. And it's true the other disciples had a misconception about God's kingdom as well. They considered the kingdom to be an earthly, geographical, political kingdom centered in Palestine with Jerusalem as its capital. Many were expecting Jesus to overthrow the political government of Rome at the time. And some even decided to come because they figured he could do it and force him to make him king. John 6:15. Possibly Judas liked that idea. For if Jesus were king and a political king, Judas would be in a good position to enhance his pot of gold. Had he not learned from Peter's reprimand that Jesus' kingdom was of a different kind? The king of the Messianic kingdom would suffer and die. Peter confessed Jesus' messiahship and Jesus commended him. But when Peter denied the fact of Jesus as having to suffer, and when you think about it, it makes you feel bad to think that Jesus would really have to suffer and the type of suffering that he had to do. We can understand how he felt. But when he denied a suffering Messiah, then Jesus had to get his attention. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus warned, but there are some of you who do not believe. And some withdrew from Jesus. But Jesus warned his apostles, did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. Judas heard it. He was there. Had he observed? Had he taken warning? He couldn't fool Jesus. Evidently, he fooled himself. Peter was called Satan, and Judas was called a devil. But there was a difference between the two that would come out somewhat later. Peter was influenced by the devil, but Judas was indwelt by the devil. There's a difference. Judas had a false view of friendship. One of the Psalms we sang there to start with. Real friendship. Jesus said to all his disciples, henceforth I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. That's why you've heard the poem, what a friend we have in Jesus. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus was treating Judas as his friend. He offered friendship to him. Jesus would trust him with the finances because he was a gifted man. But great gifts are no evidence of saving grace. That's one thing you should take. You could be very gifted, gifted by the Lord himself, but great gifts are no evidence of true saving grace. Judas was the only southerner from the group. He came from Judea. He was the only one. Possibly he even had a sort of southern accent. Maybe that's why those that were at the trial, they said, you were there with Jesus. Maybe it's his accent also gave him away. Well, Judas knew that Jesus was criticized for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Judas was a sinner. Jesus is offering him friendship. There's real horror here. But Judas did not mind the things of God. Now, Judas's problem was not lack of knowledge. It was not lack of facts. He had the knowledge. He saw the things before him. He had the experiences before him. But he did not have the mindset of the Lord Jesus. Judas knew that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If you know that verse in Luke 19:10, you know one of the ones that Jesus came to seek and to save was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, wealthy. But of him Jesus finally declared, today salvation has come to this house because he too was the son of Abraham. But Zacchaeus was willing to give back anything that he took in a wrongful way, and quite a bit. You see, he was a giver, not a taker. It wasn't wrong to be wealthy. It wasn't wrong to have riches. But it's wrong when we don't have the proper perspective on our riches. Judas was a taker, not a giver. Yes, it's true he returned the money. But he returned the money when it was too late. And that's sad. That's tragic. After Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, he warned that not all of them were clean. There was someone there who was really dirty. Now, in the sense they were all were dirty. But this is meaning a little bit more. Someone different from the others. He quoted scripture, he who eats my bread has lifted his heel against me. From Psalm 41:9, and then taking John 13:18. Being troubled in spirit, Jesus testified, amen, amen, I say to you that one of you will betray me. Now, I am sure that this was deeply affecting Jesus. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It's not that he hated Judas. He offered friendship. He realized he was a gifted man. He offered the sop, the morsel of friendship, and Judas took it. And then they all asked, when they realized the seriousness of it, well, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? And I'm sure there were those that when they said, is it I, they meant, this is serious business. I don't want to be the one who betrays Jesus. I don't want to be the one who's unclean and not a follower of Jesus. Who is it? And even Judas says, is it I? And he knows. Because Judas asked that question. But he was spurning Christ's friendship. And Jesus knew it. And you can imagine how he felt. This was not Jesus' last offer of friendship. After Judas joined the enemies, he went up to Jesus. And he said, Hail, Master. kissed him, a sign of close friendship. And Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you have come for." He could have repented at that point, gone to Jesus, but you see, he was too far gone. Luke records Jesus is saying, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" He wasn't a good friend at all. He was a false friend. Did Judas take offense when Jesus declared the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed? It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. That is sobering. It would have been good for that person if he'd never been born. True words. Sin becomes progressively worse. You're not as bad to begin with as you will be later on if you don't deal with a sin problem. Judas became a pawn, a tool of the devil. Jesus didn't betray the friendship. Judas did. It would become a short time when it would all sink in what Judas really had done. He was a friend to start with, but became a traitor. He was close to Jesus, and he heard him preach and teach and work miracles. Now, here's the sad thing. Judas also preached. He preached the gospel. He knew it. He taught. He even cast out devils. But he couldn't keep the devil out of himself, but became a tool of the devil, and in his actions would destroy what he once preached. Judas would destroy what he once preached. That's the exact opposite of the person who you remember who began to preach what he once tried to destroy. That was the Apostle Paul. He tried to destroy Christians and destroy the gospel. But he was saved. He changed. And then he preached what he once tried to destroy. But an exact difference with Judas. He destroyed what he once preached. Reminds me of the sad poem. It goes, "Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost." Lost. And that's sobering, no matter what you think or feel. In the 1960s, Dr. Francis Schaeffer was asked, "What will happen to those who have never heard of Christ?" And you've thought about that as well. Everyone waited for an answer. It was in a conversation he had at the table. No answer came. Soon everyone realized that his head was bowed in reverence, and he was weeping silently. To be without Christ, it's awful. But think how worse to have heard of Christ, to have known of him and to have known the scriptures, to maybe even preach like Judas, but then be lost. That's awful. Better, the person never been born. When Judas gave the kiss of death, he didn't seem to realize how hideous, how golem-like, how deformed he had become. And when it finally hit him, he couldn't live with himself. He tried to do something about it, but he went to the wrong place. He went to the wrong people. He went to those who were wicked, unprincipled people, who were not to be trusted, and whose works of darkness would bring harm, hardness, and hell itself. Judas felt remorse, returned the 30 pieces of silver, renounced what he had done, and declared, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. He was too hasty in his actions. Judas should have fled to the cross, confessed his sin to Jesus, and found salvation. That the one thief and murderer found on the cross when he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. But that other repentant thief and Judas did not go to paradise. They went to perdition. Judas went to his own place, it tells us in Acts. It would be a place of infamy, where he would always be known as the traitor to the Son of Man. It would be a place of darkness, crying, gnashing of teeth, unquenchable fire, and eternal punishment, and a place of tears. You know, I've often wondered sometimes when I've thought of friends and associates, even members of my family background who did not profess Christ and are not Christians. And you would always like to think, oh, maybe they repented at the last. And you like to think that they'd be with the Lord. But if they didn't confess Christ and trust in Him and come under the shed blood of Christ, there's no hope. Wonder if that's the reason why, when it all comes out on the judgment day, there's going to be tears, crying. We may very well be crying over we see what has happened. I don't think we'll be silently crying, maybe audibly. But then what's the great hope? That God will wipe away the tears from their eyes. It's the only hope we can think of. Judas will always be remembered of his lost apostolicship, his lost fellowship with believers, and most of all, the loss of Jesus' friendship. He can't say, what a friend I have in Jesus, or what a friend we have in Jesus. They are no fools who kiss the Son in godly submission, with fear, rejoicing with trembling, taking refuge in Him. Such are truly blessed. But for those who refuse to submit, who give the kiss of death, who will not repent, there's wrath. Not only did Judas refuse to truly repent, he refused to believe. He knew that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Judas, with all unbelievers, love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. That's what they wanted. That's what they preferred. That's what they loved. That's what they're going to get. Darkness. Their precious darkness. Well, they can have it. I don't want it. What about you? Are you on the side of darkness or on the side of light? On the dark side or the side of the shining light? Something serious for all of us to ponder. Judas didn't lack facts, knowledge, friendship. His eyes were open, but he didn't hear very well. Today, people in the United States have more access to Bibles, Christian literature, Christian books. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. But the day is going to come when it's going to be too late. Jesus, seek and you shall find. Continue to seek, you shall find. Seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Being like the Bereans, they heard the apostles preach and teach, and they received the word, but they examined the Christian scriptures on a daily basis to make sure what they were hearing was true and according to the Bible. The godly Bereans. We haven't resisted to bloodshed like the Lord Jesus, striving against sin. From Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. He had to fight against sin. The sin was real in his life. Even to the point where he had drops of blood falling from him. We haven't had that. But we need to constantly resist the temptations that come our way. Judas was not resisting. Judas knew the Psalms. We're going to sing Psalm 2. Psalm 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. He sided with the wrong people. He was on the wrong path. His way was going to perish." Life's not worth living without Christ. He's our living hope. And we need to kiss Him in submission, as we'll sing when we sing Psalm 2. If you're on the Lord's side today, deny yourself, take up your cross on a daily basis, read His Word on a daily basis, and follow Him. And what good is it if a person gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? Let us pray. Oh Lord, we stand considering these factors today. We confess we're sinners. We're not worthy of your love, your mercy, and your grace. We don't want to be like Judas. We know sin is evil. We know that it's progressive. We don't want to be of those who had been better if they'd never been born. Keep us, O Lord, from going on the pathway of Cain and Judas and Balaam. We know we can't in our own selves save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. But we know that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Help us in resisting temptation. Help us to be your true followers. And on a daily basis, repenting of our sins, trusting in the Savior, relying upon your Holy Spirit. We need you, but we thank you that the great hope that we have as your people, that the great day of change is coming. Darkness will flee away. Tears will be wiped away. No more sadness or sickness. No more crying, no more death. And we look forward to that day with great joy and anticipation. Until that day, keep us true to yourself, to your word, as we rely upon you. In the name of our Savior, amen.